All right, if you guys want to just make your way back to your seats, I'll pray for us. God, thanks for giving us a reason to gather together this morning, that you've made it possible for us to have life in giving us your son, Jesus. We're really grateful for that. And this morning on Father's Day, we're probably here with, you know, people with mixed feelings. Some of us have great fathers and great memories of our fathers. Some of us don't have a memory of our fathers at all. Some of us have really painful memories of our fathers. And so on this day, it can be difficult. But God, help us to know that no matter what kind of earthly father we've had, we have you as our Heavenly Father who cares so deeply for us, who is always thinking about us, is always working for our good. You never forget about us, never treat us poorly, but you are just the perfect Father in looking out for us. Please help us to see your care and concern in our lives. As we look at this scripture, help teach us, help us to understand what your kingdom's like and how to live in it. Help us to find joy in our new life in you, or help us to find new life in you for the first time. Holy Spirit, please speak your words. Speak the words that God wants to hear this morning. Open people's hearts, open our hearts to hear what we need to hear and for it to really take root in our hearts and bear fruit. We give this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you get the privilege of hearing from me this week and next week, so hooray for all of us. We're going to do a little two-week series here in Matthew 13, and just look at a few of the parables that Jesus told. Jesus loved to teach with parables. Parables are basically just stories. Stories that generally were not true, but helped to illustrate a point that he wanted people to understand about what God was like, what people were like, what the kingdom of heaven was like. And so when you look at a parable, it's really important to understand what was happening with Jesus and with people at the time he told the parable. Because he wouldn't tell the parable in isolation, but he would always tell the parable into a situation that was happening. Jesus was going around doing things and things would happen, and then he would tell a parable so people could help understand the situation or understand how to view what was happening in life. So with this one, chapter 13 has a bunch of parables, and the situation was Jesus had been going around in Galilee, which was the area where he grew up and he had come back and where he did most of his ministry for the 3 years. So him and his disciples were walking around, and they would walk around and just talk to people about the kingdom of heaven. He would talk to people about the good news of the kingdom of heaven. He said, hey, the kingdom is here, and this is really good. Let me tell you why it's really good. And he would go on to tell them that what you have been hearing your whole life from the religious leaders in your country is that this is how things work with God. He's given you a bunch of rules. You can see it in the Law of Moses. You can see it in your Bible. And we've also helped you out by creating a whole bunch of other rules to help you keep the rules that God gave you. So you've got all the rules you need, and follow those rules. If you follow those rules, then God's going to bless you. He's going to give you lots of money. He's going to give you power. He's going to give you a great family. He's going to do all these things. You're going to be blessed, and it's going to be great. But if you don't do them, then you're not going to be blessed. You maybe end up poor, or maybe you're going to have a disease, or maybe you're going to be born blind, or maybe all these things are going to happen to you. That was what the religious leaders of the day were telling them. And so those who found themselves poor or outcasts felt like, I guess God doesn't like me very much. And those that were in power used that teaching to say, look, well, we have money, we have power, so obviously we're doing the right things, and God is blessing us because of that. The fact of the matter was, everyone was doing wrong things all the time, and the situations of people didn't necessarily mean that God was happy with one and God wasn't happy with another. And so Jesus came on and he says, look, what you've been being told about how things work and how things work with God is totally not the way that God works. Let me tell you, there's good news. No matter what you've done, no matter how you feel like you've done right or wrong, the kingdom of God, belonging to God, having God's love, having God's acceptance, is available to you. You can have it, no matter who you are. You can be welcomed into God's kingdom, no matter what you've done. Because of me, because I've come to pay the penalty, to go to the cross, so now it's wide open. Especially, actually, the people who realize you've done wrong things, you are closer to the kingdom of heaven than those who don't want to admit it, because you can receive that gift that I've come to give. So Jesus was going around telling all these people about this, and while he was going around telling, he was showing people how much God loved them. People came who were sick, he healed the sick. Those who were disabled, he healed. He touched people who no one would ever touch, ever. So he was showing with his life and with his words that there's this great good news for everybody. Now, this did a couple things. For the people who were in power, the religious leaders, this was very threatening to them because everything they had set up was keeping them in power, and they wanted that. They wanted to have the authority, and Jesus was undermining that by telling everyone, that's not how things work. Don't follow those guys. You know, follow me. They're like, this is not cool. So they are following him around, trying to discredit him. And by this point, by the point Jesus tells these parables, they were already plotting and trying to figure out, how can we kill this guy? We just got to get rid of him. He is too much of a threat to us. We have to get rid of him. So that was the leaders' reactions to him. And then most of the people who felt like, you know, maybe they were in need, maybe they had problems, they were just loving this. What Jesus was saying was capturing their imagination. There's like, they're basically saying, could this really be true? Is this possible? This sounds too good to be true, but I'm really hoping it's true. And I'm in, Jesus, I'm in. So those that began to follow him and identify themselves with him saw that there was this confrontation, right? Or there was this dichotomy. What Jesus was teaching, what the religious leaders and those in power were teaching, and even the Roman powers. So they began to see, look, like there's kind of two kingdoms here that are in conflict. And so their minds, they thought, the way that the world works is when there's two powers that are vying, there's going to be a big battle. And then one's going to come out on top and the other one's going to be destroyed and is going to go away. So they're thinking, okay, Jesus, how is this going to work? When are you going to, you know, conquer these other kingdoms and bring your kingdom in? What's our role going to be in that? How do we fight for you? Okay, what you're saying is good. What these people are saying is evil. Let's get rid of the evil and bring in the good, right? That makes sense. Let's do it. How are we going to do that? So they're wondering how that's going to happen. But Jesus wanted them to know that his kingdom at this time, until he returns finally at the end, is not going to work like earthly kingdoms. It's not going to be a power play. It's not going to be a show of force. It's not going to be something where he's going to just take out all the people who disagree with him or take out those that are evil. It's going to be different. It's going to be a kingdom that works based off of people making a choice, people choosing Jesus. It's going to be based off Jesus like wooing people to him as a man would woo a woman to love him. He's going to love, he's going to serve, he's going to work from the bottom up. And that's what's going to happen right now. And so he tells the first parable we didn't read in this chapter is the most famous one, the parable of the sower. He talks about how sower goes out and he has four different seeds and they all get received very differently. And so he's like, look guys, the way that my kingdom is working right now, the message is going to go out about me and there's going to be different reactions. People are going to be all across the spectrum in how they respond to me. And that's just the reality. That's what's going to happen. And the kingdom right now is going to be a matter of choosing me, how it's people are going to receive my seed or not. I'm not going to force myself onto people at this point. And so then he, after he finishes that parable, explains it to them, he goes on, and the first parable that we read, he gives them this one. He says, you know, the kingdom of heaven is also like a man who goes out and sows good seed in his field. Wheat grows up, but then an enemy comes when no one's looking, deceitfully, and sows some bad seeds in there too, and they start growing up. So you got this field that has, you know, good and bad in it at the same time. So servants are like, oh, this is not a good situation. We need to fix this. We need to change it. We need to go just tear up all the weeds. And Jesus says, no, don't do that yet, because you'll mess up the good seeds at the same time. And, you know, at the end, after another couple of parables, he explains this to them. He says, look, yeah, you know, the wheat is like the people who belong to me, and then the weeds are like those people who belong to that devil. But we're not going to uproot the evil ones right now. We're going to wait until the very end, and then we'll harvest it all, and then we'll split it up. And I'll be the one that does that, not you guys. So, so into the situation where he was talking about, and this is very much still a situation that we can apply today. His followers at that time were thinking, okay, we've got Jesus pitted against the religious leaders, or Jesus pitted against Rome, and those guys are evil and we're good. How do we conquer that kingdom? How do we come into power? And Jesus says, look, during this life, everyone's just going to kind of be there and just going to coexist. And even today, similar things. So, I mean, the first point, you know, evil and evil people will be there right alongside those who believe Jesus until Jesus returns. So, as we live our lives, there's going to be people at our work, there's going to be people at our school, there's going to be people in church, there's going to be people everywhere around us all the time who some belong to Jesus and are following Jesus, some belong to the devil and are doing evil. And that's going to be the reality. Jesus is not, at this point, going to destroy all the evil in the world. He will later. Now, I imagine that his followers just had this feeling of like, well, wouldn't it be better just to get rid of all the evil? I mean, we see these things going on. And, you know, I didn't pick this passage specifically because of what's been happening this week in our world, but I realized, wow, that's pretty applicable. I mean, thinking about Orlando and, you know, 49 people just killed for no good reason. And that's not the only thing that's happened as recently that you're just like, you just look at that and you go, you can't think of anything. It's just evil. You know, like, you know, a 14-year-old girl walking down the street in broad daylight being, you know, just kidnapped and taken somewhere. It's just evil. And it's around us all the time. And I'm sure that you know things that have happened that other people don't know about, that aren't in the news. So I think one of our reactions is just like, let's figure out a way to just get rid of this evil, because evil is evil and is bad, and we shouldn't have it. So we just need to get rid of these people who are evil. I don't want to talk about politics too much or tell you who to vote for or whatever, but it just struck me that one of the rhetorics of one of our possible presidential candidates, there's this idea of there are people in our country who are doing bad things. Let's just kick them all out and keep them out because they keep doing bad things. They've shown that they're going to do evil things. Wherever they're from, they're going to do bad stuff. So let's just keep them out, and our country will be a lot better if they're all out of our country. Now, not to say that the security of our country and our people is not a good thing or important thing, but you just sort of, you know, and people are on board with that. They're like, yes, we do not want evil people here doing evil things to us. Get them out. You know, we have a 5.5-year-old son who's going to be going to kindergarten this fall, and over the past year we've gotten more and more involved in the Oakland Unified School District, and the public schools in Oakland, it's a challenge. And there's a lot of segregation, and there's a few like kind of schools that all the parents want to get their kids into because it's like the good school, and then there's other schools where they're like, I don't want my kid to go there because all the bad kids go there. There's a lot of evil that happens at those schools, and there's just this sense, you know, we obviously care about our kids a whole lot. We want good things for our kids, and so we look at a situation, we go, well, let me put them in the best situation as possible. But there's a whole lot of problems that come in the school system when that happens, and it's, you know, there's obviously a lot of work to be done. But one of the dynamics is that we want to separate ourselves from what we perceive to be the bad people or the bad situations. You know, the church is not exempt from these kinds of things. You know, it's tempting in the Bay Area. The church, we look at biblical values, and then we look at our culture in the Bay Area, and we go like, oh my gosh, there's so much bad stuff going on in the Bay Area. And we're right in the midst of the Bay Area. So one of the reactions can be, gosh, well, we need to stand against all of that evil that's going on here. We need to be the bastion of morality and goodness and bring people to the realization that they need to be better. They need to be good. And, you know, like us. Thank you for laughing, because it's funny. It's funny, right? The thing that all of this misses is that we keep thinking the bad people are out there, but the bad people are here, right? You know, the only reason that we, you know, in this parable, if there's good seed and there's bad seed, the only reason if we belong to the good seed is that Jesus did it for us, you know, because we're all filled with the bad stuff. So if we begin to think, well, we need to find the bad people and get rid of all the bad people, first of all, we don't have the capability to judge that correctly. You know, we're not going to know all the secrets of people's hearts. We're not going to know and be able to judge correctly. Okay, let's try to, you know, weed out of God's kingdom the ones that belong to the devil. And secondly, you know, we're only there by grace. That we've been accepted into God's family only by grace, only by what Jesus has done. So it's not our place. It's not our job. Jesus is saying, look, there's going to be evil. There's going to be evil people. There's going to be these things happening. But it's not your job to get rid of it. I will do it, right? The parable says, at the end, I'm going to send my angels to separate out, at the end, the weeds from the wheat. And I understand that this evil is painful. And, you know, in some ways, rightly, your heart goes, this is not right, we need to change it. He says, yes, I agree. But we're going to wait. But we're not going to do that yet. And you're not going to do it at the end. I'm going to do it because I can judge perfectly and I know exactly what's happening with everything. So leave it to me. For the time being, the kingdom of God here on earth, the earth, is going to be this mixed bag. And he also, I think one temptation for God's people is to try to fight against it and to get rid of that. But the other temptation is just to separate ourselves and be like, I just want to run away from any people that are bad and go just try to find people that are good and just be with those people. Again, it's, you know, you can't find just good people. You can find bad people who've been forgiven, but you can't find good people. So that's a problem with that. But also, God wants us to influence people around us. And those that, you know, we never know what the final destination or final thing is going to be for people. God can change anyone. Those who look like they're the worst people ever end up being God's children. So we never know. So what do we do instead? So Jesus gives that first parable, the weeds, to say, this is how the situation is going to be. This is what I don't want you to do. And then he gives a couple of parables showing us how we can act, how we can be in the kingdom of heaven. So he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it's the largest of all garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. So he gives these two pictures, I think, of a way to live in the midst of this situation. He says, instead of thinking about the kingdom of God like the worldly way of like, okay, there's this confrontation and we got to be more powerful and just change everything and bring in all the good. He says, actually, the way that it's going to work is that you're going to do some small action. You're going to take some small step that will feel completely, not completely, but pretty insignificant to you. And then you're going to forget about it. And then later on, maybe in this life, maybe later after, you're going to look back and go, oh my gosh, that little thing produced all of this goodness. That little bit of yeast, you know, ends up working its way all throughout. And he says, that's how my kingdom's going to work on this earth. You know, these little things that don't seem to be much to begin with will grow, and it will just move throughout the world and change things for the good. I think there was this commercial from Thailand, was it? I don't know. YouTube, probably somewhere I saw. But it was kind of about this guy who was walking to work, and, you know, he sees this mother and daughter, I think, begging for money or something on the side of the street. And, you know, he keeps walking by every day. And then finally he, you know, decides to start giving them a little something. And, you know, he doesn't know what it's going to do. But then it turns out, like, I think she ends up being able to go to school because of it. And, okay, someone else has seen it. It's awesome. I'm totally butchering the whole commercial. You should go look for it. It's actually really good. But what the reason I was reminded of it was because, yeah, it strikes your heart. It's like, oh man, that is so cool that just a little action can have such a big result. And I think that it hits our hearts because God's like, yes, that's how my kingdom's working right now. That's how it's going to be. And that's how it's going to be beautiful. And that's how one of the things it does is we can't take credit for it. We can't go, yes, I did it. All my power. I changed everything. I changed the world. It's all about me. But no, God gets the glory that way. You know, we do a little thing that we didn't think would make that much of a difference, and then God takes it and does something crazy. So in light of our world and things are going to continue to happen where we look at it and just go, that's evil. And I think we wonder, what do I do to respond to that? You know, and part of us is like, well, we just got to get rid of all that evil. And we feel like, okay, how do we do that? But we can't. And then the other part of us, I think, is just like, in the face of such a thing, I can't do anything. So we just ignore it and we go off and we don't do anything. But Jesus is giving us an opportunity here. He's saying, look, you can participate in change. You can participate in the kingdom of heaven. Just look at your life and just do whatever small thing it is you see in front of you that you could do that is following Jesus. You know, you look at the teaching of Jesus, and a lot of it is, you know, I don't know, doable things. It's hard, but it's doable. You know, just, I mean, starting with loving people. Like, okay, well, what's something loving I could do for someone? I see a person walking on the street, I smile and say hi. That's a little thing. That's a beginning. You know, someone you know needs a small loan of money for something, you know, you just give it to them. You know, you're thinking of someone that you haven't talked to in a while, you pick up the phone or send a text, something small. Maybe, you know, you're with a friend and sometimes you're really distracted when you're with people. Maybe just stopping and trying to be completely present and give your whole, you know, self to that person in that moment, to listen, to talk with them. That could be a small mustard seed. You know, maybe you know people who are, you know, suffering just really bad injustices for whatever reason. You may not be able to go and change that whole injustice, but you can go and be there with them in the midst of it. You could stand with them. You can support them. That would be a small thing you could do. I'm sure you can figure out a whole bunch of ways. But I know for me, it's I look at the world and I go, there's so much that needs to change. And so sometimes I get frozen. I'm like, well, I can't change any of that, so I do nothing. But Jesus is like, look, the way that I'm going to change things is through these little, you know, mustard seeds, these little things, this little yeast. It's gonna work through all the dough. It's not gonna be something that is like an outside in type of thing. Jesus always talks about the kingdom, something inside out. It's gonna be small and then grow. It's not gonna be a top down kind of thing, but it's gonna start from the bottom and work its way up. And, you know, this way that the kingdom works is completely in line with the good news that Jesus came to share. You know, he came to say, look, it's not about you and what you can accomplish. It's going to earn you favor with God. God loves you right where you are, right who you are right now. And he knows all the stuff that you've done, and he wants you to be part of his kingdom. And he invites you to be a part of this, you know, sort of inside out, bottom up type of change. You don't have to feel like you need to compare yourself to other people. And I feel like this need to feel better than other people is what causes us to try to root out the evil in others, is because we're like, well, if I identify them as bad, then I can feel good and that will be good. But we can just feel good because God loves us. And we don't have to worry about judging or bringing other people down. We're free to be like Jesus, you know, full of grace and truth. And Jesus will be sure to take care of the evil in the end. We don't need to. So as the band comes back up, let me pray for us. Remember to stay for lunch. Let's pray. God, our Heavenly Father, thanks for coming for us. When we had run away, you came looking for us, just like a father would come looking for their son or daughter. Thanks for making it possible for us to return to you, not have to pay ourselves for all the things we did wrong. Help us to fully just receive that grace in our hearts, to let go of any need to prove ourselves by how good we are, how much we can follow your rules. But free us from that. Free us to love people. Free us to be okay in this tension of living with evil and evil people around us. Help us to find those small ways to participate in your kingdom. And please, by your power, use those small things to change people's lives and change them for eternity. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. As they're playing, there'll be people up here to pray with you if you want to pray about anything. If you want to, you know, accept Jesus' forgiveness for the first time, you can do that. If there's something going on you want to pray for, if you don't know what's going on, you're just like, I just need someone to pray for me, you can come up too.